Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Wednesday, October 25th. We're making that turn halfway through the fantasy football regular season, and I'll tell you what, even if you're 2-5, well, you're listening to this podcast, if you're 2-5, you know you're not done, but it ain't over yet. We got 7 more games for most of us until the fantasy football playoffs. So let's kick off week 8 here with these rankings. Of course, you can get them over at ftnfantasy.com. This is only an initial set. They evolve over the course of the week. So if you want the most updated, get them at ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Let's start at quarterback. Not much changes at the top. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is rolling after last week. It's a nice matchup against Denver as well. Jalen Hurts at 2. Philly, Washington. We've already seen this matchup once. Also, not overly concerned with the injury issue. He should be fine. Lamar Jackson sliding up to the 3 hole this week. It's largely because of the matchup. He's facing Arizona. He's also playing really good football as well. So he's one spot ahead of Josh Allen. But I'm not overly concerned for Josh Allen. Tampa's a pretty good defense, no doubt about it. But Josh Allen, I mean, come on. We didn't draft him in the second or third round to be in one quarterback leagues to be considering somebody else. Justin Herbert at 5. Last week wasn't great, but I do expect to bounce back against the Bears this week. Tua Tagovailoa also last week wasn't great. But these guys, when they are in explosive offenses like that, you can't keep them down for long. It is Belichick. It's a home game, though. That's going to be a fun one, by the way. Trevor Lawrence at 7. Dude is playing great football. The football is not matching the fantasy right now, but in a game where they are favored by 2.5 points on the road, I'm liking this one for Lawrence. Jared Goff at 8, a little bit of a bounce back for him this week. He gets the Monday night matchup against the Raiders. At number 9, I have Brock Purdy. Now, every week, right around this range, this is where things are a little fluid. So it's Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud in the top 12, Kirk Cousins on the outside, Russell Wilson, Jordan Love right there. Those guys can move around a little bit. I do anticipate Purdy remaining a top 12 option facing Cincinnati. Cincinnati surged a little bit on the offensive side of the ball as Joe Burrow got better. It's a tough matchup for him against San Francisco, but obviously both of those guys are top 12 options. I do like Dak Prescott in what should be more of a competitive game. We saw he got a competitive game before their bye week. He was the number one fantasy quarterback. Like, it wasn't a blowout finally. So I don't mind Dak Prescott. CJ Stroud is the remaining guy in the top 12 right now facing Carolina. Kirk Cousins just on the outside looking in, as I mentioned. And this one, I mean, it does come down to matchup. I mean, you got Green Bay. They are surprisingly pretty good against the pass. They're not good against the run. So it's a tougher one there. By the way, if you're looking in Superflex for where Will Levis is, because Levis looks like he's going to get a majority. I don't want to say all the reps, because I do think we'll see some like wildcat with Malik Willis. But he's down with Tyson Bagent. I with all 32 teams playing this week in Superflex, I can't use Will Levis or Tyson Bagent for that matter. Over to running back Christian McCaffrey at 1. He's apparently just fine. Austin Eckler at 2. He has not been fine since coming back from the injury, but he gets the Bears. I love that matchup. Travis Etienne at 3, leading the NFL in carries, 3rd in rushing touchdowns. He's been fantastic. You know, I had a little bit of concern that Tank Bigsby was going to take away goal line work, but you know what? If you rip off long touchdowns, you don't even have to worry about that. Alvin Kamara, 4 games played since suspension. 104 touches over that span, and that's a lot. The kids might even call that a buttload of touches. Yes, Jamal Williams should see more work this week, but I'm not overly concerned about Alvin Kamara. Tony Pollard, the volume is really what's key here. The efficiency hasn't been great, but I'm not overly concerned there as well. I really love the volume for Pollard, so giddy up there. Breece Hall. I love the volume that started there over the last 2 weeks, or 2 games, I should say, for them, because they were on bye last week. But he's just so fun to watch. Explosive play after explosive play. Breece Hall, giddy up. Ken Walker at 7. All right. Well, last week we had a little Derek dilemma on him. This week, Cleveland on the other side. I mean, I'm still using him as an RB1, but obviously have downgraded expectations a little bit. Jahmyr Gibbs at 8. Okay, so Jahmyr Gibbs is subject to move. I don't have a practice report as of right now, but we'll keep a close eye on David Montgomery. Of course, we'll talk more about that on Friday's podcast. Isaiah Pacheco at 10. It's Denver. He's also being used more in the passing game. There are a number of factors at play here that are very good for Isaiah Pacheco. Saquon Barkley at 11. I think he's looked very good since coming back from the ankle issue. It's just he does face the Jets. That's a tough matchup. There's no way around it. It's going to be a tough one. But he's still obviously a back-end RB1 for me. Raheem Mostert, same thing at 12. The challenge there is you have this weird committee that is really difficult to predict. Like, you know, last week we did see more Savon Ahmed than I thought. We didn't see as much Jeff Wilson as I thought. But, you know, go back to week two. We barely saw Devon Achane. He was a healthy scratch in week one. And then in week three, all of a sudden he's a legend. So that puts a little bit of a damper on Mostert. Obviously, we know what the ceiling is, but more of a back-end RB1 play for me this week. Josh Jacobs at 13. Detroit's really good against the run. It's a tough matchup. I don't expect the efficiency to return or to improve this week. Bijan at 14. Oh, boy. One of the topics of the week. Does he still have headaches? I don't know yet. Haven't seen the report. This one, Tennessee's pretty good against the run. That is the Arthur Smith revenge game. But he's subject to change here as we get a sense of where he is in practice. Jonathan Taylor at 15. This one is not the best matchup. His volume continues to improve, but New Orleans does defend the run well. Speaking of a bad matchup, Derrick Henry. Atlanta, very good against the run. Only the Eagles giving up fewer fantasy points per game to the two running backs, so that's a tough one. Joe Mixon at 17. Facing San Francisco, his efficiency isn't good as it is. James Cook at 18. His efficiency is fine. Tampa's tough, but I love what he was doing in the passing game last week. Without Damian Harris, who is now officially on injured reserve, we could see a little bit more there for James Cook in terms of his work in the passing game and his work in the run game. Like, the touch volume was fine last week. You know, that there now is a little bit, it seems like there's more clearly defined roles between him and Latavius Murray than there was when it was Latavius Murray and Damian Harris as the other guys. Rashad White at 19, not good on the ground, but I don't care because he can catch 5 or 6 or 7 passes, especially when they're playing from behind. Hopefully in Buffalo, hopefully can the Buffalo Bills get out to a reasonably good start this week. Aaron Jones at 20. Minnesota, surprisingly, I did not realize this heading into this week, not bad against the run. In fact, pretty good against the run so far this season. And we're also seeing a little bit more of A.J. Dillon than maybe we want to see if we have Aaron Jones on our rosters. Deontay Foreman, 21. I mean, the genie's out of the bottle, is it? I mean, after last week, can you, if you're, let's assume rational coaching, Matt Eberflus and company, wouldn't you just keep rolling with Deontay Foreman? Yes, Roschon Johnson should be back in the mix. I want to see what they do with Roschon before using him, so he is not a flex-worthy option. We'll roll with Foreman for now. Ramondre Stevenson at 22. The work in the passing game is encouraging, keeps him in the RB2 conversation. Javonte Williams at 23. Ran hard last week. That's not an easy matchup. It's not an easy game in general for Denver, but he's at least, he's got enough juice to be a back-end RB2 option. And then Alexander Mattison at 24. Boring, not sexy. Great matchup, though, for Madison. Right on the outside, looking in, we have Gus Edwards. Don't read too much into last week's fantasy numbers. That was a long catch. I mentioned A.J. Dillon. He's down here. Let's see who else. And this isn't necessarily in order. Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, Amari DiMercato, Brian Robinson, Darrell Henderson, Zach Moss, Chuba Hubbard, Damian Pierce and Devin Singletary. That's a bit of a mess as well in that backfield. Let's move over to wide receiver. It's Tyreek until further notice. I mean, I love Cooper Kupp, but I actually have him down at 6 this week. Doesn't mean anything. Like, we're still going to use him, but Tyreek is amazing. Was last week his floor? Was last week Stephon Diggs' floor? He's at 2. Tough matchup on paper for Ja'Marr Chase, but he's averaging over 12 targets a game this season. Keenan Allen also seeing heavy volume at 4. He's almost at 100 receiving yards per game. A.J. Brown has been over 125 receiving yards in each of his last five games. It's silly. He's number five this week. I mentioned Cooper Kupp at six. Amon Ra at seven. He's topped 100 yards in four of his last five games. CeeDee Lamb at eight. Dallas needs to keep feeding him. He's coming off his second best game of the season before the bye. And for them to, you know, to keep being competitive, and they're actually pretty heavily favored against the Rams, they got to feed him the rock. Brandon Ayuk at 9. I do not expect Debo to play this week. Davante Adams at 10. Ugh, the quarterback situation. That's the only thing that's really holding him back. I don't really have any. Like, he looked healthy last week. It was just all contested targets. Adam Thielen at 11 should see heavy volume against Houston. That's a weirdly fun game for me, Houston, Carolina. I don't know why, but I'm very intrigued by that one. Puka Nacua at 12, rolling. Jaylen Waddle avoided injury at 13. Chris Olave at 14. So some people have asked me, is there going to be any discipline after he was stopped for reckless driving? But essentially, he was double the speed limit in a 35-mile-an-hour. I've not seen that anything was involved other than he just had a lead foot. We did see Jordan Addison get caught for speeding early. You know, it was back in, was it July? You know, it was back in the offseason. And nothing really happened from it. I mean, it was stupid. It was dangerous. They likely got hefty tickets, but Addison wasn't suspended. I really don't think anything's going to come of this for Olave. But boneheaded move for sure. Speaking of Addison, he's at 15. He's playing great football. Ride this wave as long as Justin Jefferson is out. We have at least two more games with Justin Jefferson on injured reserve. By the way, I am not trading Justin Jefferson away. This is not the time to do so. I'm holding on to him because we're so close to him returning. George Pickens at 16. He seems to be the clear number one there. For now, we're going to keep riding it, though. The ceiling is awesome. Speaking of ceiling, Mike Evans at 17. He has really shown a nice chemistry with Baker Mayfield, and they could be playing from behind in this one. That helps from that passing upside. Zay Flowers at 18. Zay is he's rolling into this one, playing very good football this season. Christian Kirk at 19. He's now the preferred Jaguars wide receiver for fantasy. Garrett Wilson at 20. Gets a nice matchup boost against the Giants in the Battle of New York. Nico Collins at 21. I mentioned that matchup that I like in that contest, just in general, for C.J. Stroud and company. D.J. Moore, quarterback situation not so good. As far as his matchup is concerned, I actually don't hate it. You know, we did see Asante Samuel shadow a little bit last week. Maybe he's on him, but I'm not really overly concerned for DJ Moore. It's more the Tyson Bagent puts a cap on his ceiling. Michael Pittman at 23. All the volume in the world, it seems like, for Pittman in that offense with Gardner Minshew under center. Devontae Smith, I understand your frustrations. He's still a wide receiver, too. The efficiency isn't there. And sometimes he's the number three target if Dallas Goedert is the number two. It's not optimal, but he can still be used as a wide receiver too. Jacoby Myers at 25. So I think he's just playing fantastic football. I've really enjoyed watching him. And, you know, it's a tough game against Detroit on Monday Night Football, but I'm digging Jacoby Myers just in general, wide receiver three. Terry McLaurin should see Darius Slay. He's at 26. Amari Cooper at 27. Continually held back by the quarterback situation. Joshua Palmer moving up at 28, Drake London at 29 in that Arthur Smith revenge game, Calvin Ridley at 30. If only somebody would have warned us that Calvin Ridley was going to be volatile this season. I wish I could have warned people about T. Higgins, but I didn't think it was going to be like this. It has been so up and down. I'm only using him as a wide receiver three this week at 31. 32, Chris Godwin, pretty straightforward with him. 33, Marquise Brown. Can we get Kyler back next week? I hope we do. I don't think it happens this week, by the way. Deontay Johnson at 34. He's got a little bit of a cap on what he can do. And like I said, I really do prefer George Pickens, stating the obvious there. DK Metcalf at 35. Okay, he could move up if he is, in fact, good to go. If he isn't, Jake Bobo may be usable in deep leagues. It's not a good matchup, though. However, I have Tyler Lockett at 37. He would move up. He'd definitely be... he'd be right around Terry McLaurin, so he'd be like a fringe wide receiver two, maybe back-end wide receiver two if DK can't go. Cortland Sutton rounding out the top 36. Other guys who are viable this week as flex options, Rashee Rice, Kendrick Bourne, DeAndre Hopkins. That's a tough one for him. from a quarterback standpoint and could see some shadow coverage in that one. Michael Thomas, Josh Downs. We got to keep an eye on Christian Watson's status. He was banged up last week. If he is out, Romeo Doubs would move up into wide receiver three territory. Gabe Davis is flex-worthy. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, maybe Tank Dell as well. All right, at tight end, if you have one of these eight, I do think you're good. You don't need to worry about it this week. You're in a good spot. Travis Kelce, duh. Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, duh and duh. Sam Laporta, George Kittle, Darren Waller, Evan Engram, Dallas Goedert. That's my top eight in order. If you have one of those eight, you're good. If you have one of the next three, it's a little bit more volatile, but I think you can get by. Dalton Kincaid, Dalton Schultz, Kyle Pitts. If you have one of those guys, I mean, yeah, there's more volatility. Like Dalton Kincaid, it's only been one game. Dalton Schultz played well over the previous two games before the bye, but before that wasn't much, so there could be some. And he doesn't have the ceiling that Kincaid or Pitts have, but he's usable. And then Pitts, obviously, we know. Volatility, but ceiling is very high. If I don't have one of those guys, I'm going to go from 12 to 22. Here are your streamable options in order. Some of these guys are banged up, but I'll comment on them. Anyway, Jake Ferguson, Logan Thomas, Taysom Hill, though he may move down if we get an indication that Juwan Johnson is just going to resume his old role. Gerald Everett, who is a little dinged up. David Njoku, Jonnu Smith, Cole Kmet, Luke Musgrave, who's a little banged up. Trey McBride, who is now streamable with Zach Ertz on injured reserve. Tyler Higbee, Michael Mayer. A lot of streamable options, but I would really prefer to have one of those top eight, to be bluntly honest with you. But there you go. We will continue to update these over at ftnfantasy.com throughout the course of the week. Of course, tomorrow I'll come back. We'll talk some injuries, and then we'll get into wide receiver cornerback matchups for this week, and of course the big show on Friday. In the meantime, follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe and FTNFantasy.com. Go check it out. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.